I need to remind you of this every once in a while, ladies and gentlemen, and I will, and that is to never become tolerant. I realize tolerance is the cry today of the world, and that should tell you something. That should tell you that there's something suspect about it, and there is. We are not to be tolerant today. We are to resist evil, resist unbelief, and we are to resist unrighteousness, and we are to make distinctions today between truth and lies. Tolerance is the battle cry of a one-world government. It is the battle cry of Satan, in fact. Tolerance today is the battle cry of our adversary. And so if our adversary is pushing for tolerance, then we ought to be pushing for distinctions between things that differ. And so I warn you against tolerance. I know that seems outrageous, but it is scriptural. I remind you of Paul's writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 here in verse 14, do not become diversely yoked with unbelievers. People constantly tell me, Martin, you are, who is, Martin, who made you the judge of belief and unbelief? And yet Paul says here, do not become diversely yoked with unbelievers. Apparently, we are somehow able to know who is an unbeliever and who is a believer. It's very quite simple if they believe Paul's teaching on the death for sin, the entombment, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then that's a believer. If a person doesn't believe in the death of Christ, believes in the Trinity instead, that Jesus was God and can't die, well, that's unbelief in Paul's gospel. If somebody believes they must rescue themselves from their own sin by exercising their free will to believe in Jesus, that's unbelief. That's not belief in Paul's gospel. Paul's gospel says that Jesus Christ saved you from sin. Doesn't depend on your decision. So anyway, for what partnership, Paul goes on in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 6, what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? And yet I'm told we're to tolerate lawlessness. These poor people that exercise lawlessness, that do lawlessness, they just had bad childhoods. And we're to be understanding. Well, everybody has an excuse then. I didn't mean to set the bomb off in the department store. I'm of Adam. As in Adam, all are dying. God locked me up in stubbornness. What can I do? All right, you're still held accountable for your unrighteousness, for your lawlessness. Paul says in verse 15, what communion has light with darkness? And yet we're told we're to tolerate the darkness. Oh, Martin, they're just ignorant. Stop being so mean, they're just ignorant. Yeah, okay, everybody has an excuse for ignorant. God's locked them up, Martin. Yeah, and so, strange, God also sent Satan into the world to wreak havoc, and yet Paul still tells us how to combat the lies of our adversary. Yes, he does, in Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the full armor of God. Against what? There's nothing to guard against because it's all of God. Yeah, it's all of God, and God put these distinctions in this life to try us, to test us, to give us an adventure, to give us something to battle against. Martin, why do you battle against the evil when you know God's responsible for it? Because God put the evil there for me to battle so that I can get extra rewards and a wreath of righteousness for teaching, for enduring, for being patient. Yes, you're supposed to be patient. You're just not supposed to be tolerant. What communion has light with darkness? Amen, Paul. No communion at all. Now, what agreement has Christ with Belial? Belial is the disintegrator. None. What agreement, or what part a believer with an unbeliever? What part does a believer have with an unbeliever? I'm practically told today by even members of the body of Christ that there's basically no such thing as an unbeliever. They're going to be all in all eventually. It's not their fault. Nobody's talking about fault here. So anyway, I just had that on my heart to tell you that you're not to be tolerant. And you're not to tolerate unbelief. You could be patient with it, but to accept it or to tolerate evil, unrighteousness, Belial, the disintegrator, darkness. No. What concur? I'll keep going here. I have to keep going here because I realize it's great. What part of the believer with an unbeliever? What concurrence has a temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, according as God said that I will be making my home and will be walking in them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Wherefore, come out of their midst, be severed, the Lord is saying. Touch not the unclean. I will admit you. I will be a father to you. God is not a father to everyone today. He's their God, but not their father. He will be their father eventually, but the fatherhood of God is misplaced truth. It's not true today. Not everyone's your brother. They're all my brother, kumbaya. No, nobody's, they're not all your brother. No, they're enemies of the cross, enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have adversaries. You have enemies. There is darkness. There is unbelief. There is lawlessness. And the one who does not recognize this opens up their own borders for evil to come into their own life. Paul said, put on the armor of God. In other words, put up a border to keep this crap from your life. I'm giving you helpful information here. As you know, I hate that bumper sticker that says tolerate or something. It shows the symbol of every religion. It has the, you know, the cross, the menorah, the Islam thing. It's all, it's, no, it says coexist, coexist. Yes, that's what it says. Well, we can't help but coexist, but we're not to embrace. We're not to embrace false religions, including Christianity, some other false religion. We coexist, but we don't embrace. We don't tolerate. I mean, I'm not going to go out and kill them because I disagree with them, but tolerance says everybody's right. We're to accept them. Everybody's a children of God. Everybody's a child of God. They're all children of God. Yes, they were all created by God, but they're not all children. That's a family relationship. That's an intimate relationship. They're not children of God. They're enemies of God. Hello, we're still in Eon 3. If you want to hang your hammock at the consummation, go ahead, but you're of no use to us, to those of us who are in what Paul calls the vast struggle of presenting truth against lies. You're living in a fantasy world that doesn't exist yet. It's going to happen, and we should look forward to it in our minds and realize that this is the end game. Great. In the meantime, there's a vast struggle here that we're to participate in and guard against evil. Because we see Paul doing it. He's the epitome. He's the one we're to imitate. Paul says, become imitators of me as I imitate God. What do we see Paul doing? Calling out people who are teaching wrong things. Why isn't he tolerant? Why wasn't he tolerant of Peter's hypocrisy in Antioch? Why wasn't Paul tolerant of Bar-Jesus, the false prophet on the island of Cyprus, who was dissuading the proconsul, Sergius Paul, from believing Paul's message? Paul wasn't very tolerant when he called Bar-Jesus son of the adversary, enemy of all righteousness. How long will you continue to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? Not very tolerant. Not very tolerant was Paul when he called the circumcision the maimcision. Not very tolerant when he says in Galatians that if anyone is bringing you a message other than the one you hear from us, let them be anathema, even if it's a messenger from heaven. Anathema. Cursed be you. Devoted to destruction be you. Anathema. Not very tolerant is Paul. And here's the man who is walking the walk of a believer in this era, and we're to imitate him. And even at, he said, well, Paul matured from that point. He matured, he got better. Yeah. Well, his last letter written to Timothy in 2 Timothy, in the last chapter of that letter, in fact, in the last few paragraphs the man ever wrote on this planet, he warns Timothy about, Alexander the coppersmith. I love Alexander the coppersmith, Paul says, displayed to me much evil, and God will be repaying that son of a bitch. He doesn't say son of a bitch, but God will be repaying him for all the evil he did to us. There's the tolerant Paul at the end of his life, living the epitome of the Christ life, the height of maturity possible to anyone in this wicked eon. God's going to get that son of a bitch. Oh, I love it. Yes, that is intolerance. That is godly intolerance. Beautiful thing. Now, back to our regularly scheduled program, Joined in Progress. Oh, besides this, I got to give you this. Oh, yeah, Paul says, shun, become separate. Like, don't shun socially, but he just says, touch not the unclean thing. Come out of their midst and be severed. Yeah, get away from these people. That's why I tell you, don't go to church. That's where evil is. That's where the evil teachings are. That's where Satan disseminates his lies and his poison through the church. And some of you are still going there. It's like, what? What is your problem? But my wife thinks, but my children think. Well, why don't you be a man and lead your family? Why don't you be a man and quit touching the unclean thing? Quit tolerating the unclean thing. Lead. Lead. Revelation 3:15, Spirit of God to the Ecclesia at Laodicea. I'm aware of your acts, that neither cool are you nor zealous. You're neither cool nor zealous. The King James says hot or cold. I wish that you were either cool or zealous. Be one of the two. Would you camp on one side of the fence instead of trying to be political? Instead of trying to be nice? Instead of trying to be tolerant? Why don't you land somewhere? There was a woman I knew back in 2010, and I presented these truths to her of the salvation of all. But she was in a mainstream church, you see, and she was a leader in the church. She was into this thing of helping addicts come out of their addictions. Great, great call and all that. But she had a position, is what I'm trying to say. So she had some kind of, she had a vested interest. She was vested in the church. And she saw the appeal of the salvation of all, and I showed her all the scriptures. And she said, don't leave me behind, Zender. In other words, show me this stuff. Show me what you're doing. Show me your newsletters. It's hard. You're a bit of a radical. I'm having a problem with this. But yeah, it's interesting. I see. Oh yeah, the salvation of all. That sounds interesting. But I'll never forget this quote from her. Quote, I just don't feel the need to land there. Yeah, no kidding. Because if you landed there, if you went on the side of the truth, you would be ostracized and outcast by your friends in the institution. Your friends in unbelief, your friends in darkness who embrace tacitly the disintegrator, Belial. And they see much fellowship between Christ and Belial, between righteousness and lawlessness, because eternal torment, which you believe, my dear female friend, is lawlessness. Eternal torment is lawlessness. It's hideous that a righteous God could torment people for eternity, in spite of the fact of having sent a son for them. Wow. That's pretty bad. I wouldn't want to be this person, as nice as she is, at the Great White Throne. And she's headed for the Great White Throne. She's not a believer. Has all the trappings of belief. I tried. I gave her my newsletter. I talked to her one-on-one about the truth. I could tell she had something inside of her that would go there, but it wasn't strong enough to go there. God didn't give her the strength. That's true. Nevertheless, she remains an unbeliever. She remains in lawlessness. She remains in darkness. She remains embracing the disintegrator at the same time she embraces Christ, supposedly. Yeah, that's being neither hot nor cool. You're sort of in the, yeah, I want to do something for Jesus. I want to do something for Jesus. So I'm on the fence. You want to do something for Jesus? Why don't you, you want to do something for Jesus? Okay. And anybody wants to do something for Jesus? How about this? Recognize his success at the cross. Recognize that he succeeded in accomplishing what he came to do, which is Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, says Paul in 1 Timothy 1:15 or something like that, foremost of whom am I. There's something you can do for Jesus. Jesus would love that. You know what? And for those people who are stuck in the circumcision thing, for those people who were raised with the earthly Jesus, the Israel Jesus, the man of Nazareth, the carpenter, for those of you who were raised with him and you're afraid to go on to maturity, you're afraid, let's say, to jump ship from the earthly Jesus into the celestial Christ who is calling you. You feel this call upon you to like, maybe there's more. There is more, because the glorified Christ, who is no longer in his Jew suit, this is the Christ who apprehended Saul, a radical Jew who was out to persecute those who named the name of Jesus Christ. And this man was lavished with grace and given a new message that people of the nations, people who are not Israelites, people who are heathen, people who are losers, people who are incorrigible sinners, people who have no ties to Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, people who don't even want to do ceremonies, who don't want to light candles, who don't want to sacrifice lambs. God has a message for these people that they are justified where they stand. They are complete in Christ without doing one ceremony, without being baptized, without being circumcised, without going to church, because they are the church. They're a new body. They're a new ecclesia. They're a new called out people, and they're called the body of Christ. If you feel that in you, make the jump. Don't be neither cool nor zealous. Don't be on the fence. Jump the fence. Be bold. You think it's safe on the fence. I'll tell you this, it is not safe. Playing it safe is the most dangerous thing you can do. Everybody wants to play it safe. Don't want to take a chance. What if you're wrong, Martin? What if your crazy teachings of the sufficiency of Christ, the sovereignty of God, the death of Christ for sin, the pretty extreme stuff that I don't have a free will, Martin. What if you're wrong? I'm going to play it safe by just, you know, having a little bit of Christ and a little bit of Belial. I'm going to have a little bit of the Messiah and a little bit of the disintegrator. I'm going to go to church a little bit just to make sure, just to be safe. You're not playing it safe. You're playing in a minefield. You're playing on the fence. You're playing in the place where God spits you out of his mouth. That's where you're playing. You're eventually going to be saved, but in the meantime, God will spit you out of his mouth. He'll disgorge you because you don't love him completely. You kind of love Christ. You kind of love Belial. You kind of love lawlessness. It satisfies eternal torment, satisfies some bent in you to see your enemies get what's coming to them. But you're going to play the fence, and yeah, we're going to talk about the grace of God. We're going to talk about Jesus Christ overcame sin and death. And on the other hand, we like this message of the disintegrator, that it didn't really work and that some people are going to get what's coming to them, which is an eternity in torment, of torment. In the meantime, I'll be in heaven in my air-conditioned office looking down on the torment of my former enemies and rejoicing with Christ. Wouldn't want to be you at the great white throne, because it will suck to be you at the great white throne, because you are going to be judged at the great white throne, and your heart is going to be exposed that you didn't feel like you needed to land any particular place. You'd rather be politically correct. You'd rather be on record in front of the world as being tolerant of everyone, of not making waves, of not potentially hurting someone's feelings. That is being lukewarm. That is being insipid. That is pretty much equal to being an unbeliever. And I'll see you at the great white throne. Your heart will be exposed. You didn't really love the truth. You loved acceptance. You loved to be accepted, and you loved to accept, because then the world thought well of you, because you're such a tolerant person. You loved everybody. You loved all religions. You loved all faiths. There's no absolute truth, because that would necessitate other people are wrong. If there's absolute truth, then there's only one truth, and other things that purport to be truth are not truth. They're lies. But then if I say that, then the people believing those lies, I would have to call them liars. And then the world would label me as a hater, as a racist, perhaps, or as a person who hates everybody who's not like them. You don't want to be a person. You don't want to be thought of a person who hates everybody who's not like them. But we don't hate everybody. We just don't tolerate everybody. We are imitators of Paul. Ideally, this is what I'm heralding. This is what I'm setting forth to you today. Be something. Stand for something. There is black and white. That's the essence of 2 Corinthians 6, the passage I read to you. There is black and white. That's the essence of Revelation 3, 15, 16. There is black and white today. There is. Which side are you on? The black side or the white side? Which side are you on? The side of Christ or the side of the disintegrator? It's not too late to figure it out. But when this window of grace closes, it will be.